we're coming towards the end of 2020, but the US election is the early Christmas gift that just keeps on giving. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Next week will be our final episode of the year, looking at the highlights and lowlights of 2020. But we will be back in the next year around the time of the Joe Biden inauguration. Subscribe this week. Make sure you don't miss a thing, especially when we return next year. And you can check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Coming toward the end of the year, so it is a quieter period, but we've had some new additions to the Biden cabinet this week, starting with Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, a former four-star general who only retired in 2016, meaning that he'll need a congressional waiver in order to void the seven-year waiting period usually expected between active duty and government service. What do we know about Austin, Ed?
Well, I don't really know much about Austin, but apparently he fits the main criteria, and that's being a friend, a close friend, a knowledgeable friend of Joe Biden. And everything I've heard about him from military people and others is very good. Steady hand, smart man, people respect him. And I think that's the reason Joe selected him. The military would respect him, and there wouldn't be any undercutting of him. So I think this is a good pick. Getting the waiver won't take too much difficulty. It'll be very difficult, probably silly, after the Republicans gave a waiver for Trump selectee Mattis for them not to give a waiver now. So I think this is a shoe-in, but it's also, again, the whole issue of race and space. Joe Biden is trying to fill his cabinet with people who have different faces, different colors, and different genders.
Well, Marsha Fudge, I've got to highlight her because she's been lobbying, she was lobbying to become the US's first black Secretary of Agriculture, and she was complaining recently that black folks are often relegated to only certain positions, including, where she finds herself now, housing and urban development.
Yeah, but she's also a person who's been challenging Pelosi for the speakership. And I think this might be a sop to get her out of the way and that challenge of Pelosi out of the way as well. How well she knows Joe, I'm uncertain, but you can be certain she does know him well enough to be appointed. I didn't think he would select anyone who's a sitting member of Congress, particularly the paper-thin lead in the House that the Demos have. But she's from a safe district, and it looks like she'll take it. She certainly knows her stuff. She's not just challenged Pelosi. She's challenged everybody, HUD secretary, that's been in the job, Democrats and Republicans alike.
We do have a Secretary of Agriculture now, Tom Vilsack. He's returning to the job, in fact. We've got a new White House press secretary leading the first all-female presidential comms team, new Surgeon General, new Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra. That's going to be a big job right there, of course.
A Californian, Hispanic again. So these are what you call safe hands people. They're not going to be revolutionaries. They're going to push the agenda as far as they can, but they are not known to be radicals. And that's what Trump said they would be. They're not that at all.
Dr. Anthony Fauci will be staying on for the COVID response as well. I mean, hopefully you'd imagine actually finding someone willing to listen to him.
Well, this is unfinished business for him. He doesn't want to go out with his tail between his legs. He's a good man. And he's looking for this transition to turn it over to somebody else and to serve it over to a team that he's given the message to. I think he'll stay just a year.
Anyone else you'd like to highlight for the cabinet positions at the moment?
Well, I'm worried about Buttigieg. We've gone through this entire discussion of cabinet. I thought he had a chance for HUD. I thought he had a chance for UN secretary. There are very few jobs he could get now. The rest of the jobs require people who have a good past in them, like interior. You don't take on a job of running all the nation's parks and wildlife and stuff like that, coming from a small town in Indiana. On the climate change front, again, it looks like some technocrat's going to take that over with appointing Kerry as the national person. An ambassadorship for him, they floated China. That's not the place to send him. You don't send a gay man to China to be the ambassador.
Looking at the Justice Department, Doug Jones, the Alabama senator, he's the leading contender for the position of Attorney General under Biden, but we don't have that confirmed at this time. So, of course, we might be discussing that a little bit later on. But right.
Well, I think he's been very hard on the civil rights issues, but we've got a lot of criminal issues in the White House and around the country that have to be tackled. The FBI has to be corralled. That, you know, it's a little bit out of hand. So I'm not certain if he's the hard touch you need. I like Sally Yates. She is a tough cookie and a female. I certainly hope she's in there someplace. Jones is good, but I think not good enough.
The situation right now in the Justice Department, though, good old Billy Barr. He's a mob lawyer extraordinaire. Reports he could be thinking of getting out while the getting's good. Why would he resign now, so close to the end of the Trump presidency?
So he has a good mark on his side. He said something good about the elections, that they were not fraudulent. And if he gets out before it's over, he doesn't have to have on his resume, "I stayed to the bitter end of a fight that you couldn't win." Notice every one of these battles that Trump has sent him into, he's found a way to lose them, unlike his predecessor who recused himself. He just lost the battles. He's lost the Hunter Biden thing, you know, fell in a ditch. All the efforts to expose the people who started the Russiagate investigations seem to have gone off the rail. He took time to do nothing.
Well, speaking of lawyers doing nothing, Rudy Giuliani, once America's mayor, has become this kind of figure of almost Mr. Bean levels of farce, thanks to his central role in these farcical Trump election lawsuits. He's now also the latest member of the administration to catch COVID-19 and potentially expose a bunch of people rather thoughtlessly. How did Giuliani get to this point, Ed? How did he get so low?
I'm not certain. He wanted to be in the White House. He wanted to be the president. I think he actually wanted to be the counselor to the president or a significant role, and it didn't happen. And so he stooped to doing anything he could to ingratiate himself. And now he's not just got COVID, he needs to catch a pardon, because he has been working on pardons, and perhaps he is the one, for money as an envoy to the president. I think Giuliani is the one that the FBI have their eyes on in terms of selling pardons. So if Trump doesn't give him a pardon, he's up a creek with COVID.
Speaking of COVID, I don't see how the United States can avoid surpassing 300,000 deaths at this current trajectory. I mean, we are now seeing...
It looks like 400,000.
Yeah, well, this is it. You know, we were talking not that long ago about surpassing 100,000, and now you're quite right. I think we're just going to see this continue to happen and happen. We're seeing single-day highs still being created. Look, powerful figures are throwing their weight behind the vaccine. Barack Obama was the first I heard to suggest He would take the vaccine live on television to instill some faith in the safety of it. But, you know, this will assign some doubts, no doubt. But as good as the vaccine, I think, will be for the world, for America, it's going to be a challenge, I would think, to get people to take this one seriously when, you know, wearing masks became a political issue.
Well, I'm not sure about that. If you think about it for a moment, you can say a lot of things, but when it comes to protecting your life, you do something else. Kids will not be able to go to school without this. You will not be able to get on an airplane without it. You will not be able to hold a job in a public agency without a vaccination. Many big employers will say you can't come to work without a vaccination. And if you come to work without a vaccination and anyone is affected, you are to blame and you will bear the cost of any suit. So I think there are a lot of ways around this. There have been other unpopular vaccinations, but when you look at the other side of it, people will do it.
Mentioned the election lawsuits, of course. Now, they haven't been going well for the crack legal team that Trump has.
Are they on crack? I thought they were on something else.
It would be entirely more appropriate, wouldn't it? Look, case after case is being thrown out of the courts on the basis that they are pure allegations, have no legal standing whatsoever. So Trump has now changed to calling up leading figures in various states and just asking them to discount or overturn results for no apparent reason, no legal reason. He just wants it done. I mean, the president of the United States...
That is against the law.
Yeah, the president of the United States is breaking the law.
Even with an individual is against the law. It's a felony. And Trump may need to pardon himself.
It seems to be, yeah, what he's angling for.
Yeah. This is crazy. He may be able to pardon himself. But when it comes to this, you cannot pardon yourself for the commission of a crime that was intended to interfere with the rules and rights of American citizens. So he's just making deeper grave for himself. I think he's so manic. He doesn't really care. And he thinks his base will support him no matter what happens. He's got them in this frenzy, and he doesn't think anyone will move on him. Don't be surprised if some states do the reverse of what he's saying. This tampering with other states, the states have fraud penalties. He is not immune to be prosecuted by the state of Georgia first, state of Michigan, the state of Pennsylvania. They have laws that prevent tampering with voting, and he could be prosecuted by those states individually or citizens of those states bringing suit against them with citizen arrest. This story is not over.
I must admit the checks and balances of the system are working out better than I would have hoped. Trump certainly seemed to think, because he assigned all these judges to the federal circuit, he did assign a lot of judges to the federal circuit and the Supreme Court as well, of course, that they were just employees of his that would do his bidding rather than sort of doing the best thing for America or for the court system itself.
Well, he has two problems here. One, these people actually went to law school, unlike his previous attorneys. The other is that for a lawyer, a judge, to make a decision that he knows is wrong, he runs the risk of being thrown off the court, to being impeached if he's a federal judge, or being disbarred. They might have done something had there been any cases, but there were no cases. So there's nothing for them to do. And you don't do anything as a friend. You do things when you're sitting on the bench as a guardian of the law. You might interpret it slightly different, but you can't go outside.
And you mentioned Georgia, of course. Trump's been in Georgia this week for a rally that was, by and large, just him airing his grievances, as far as I could tell. But he did encourage folks to get out and vote Republican, keep Republicans in control of the Senate.
Yeah, vote two or three times.
Yes, vote early, vote often. I think the message was a little bit lost between, you know, what he's saying, what he's gearing these grievances, and some wanting to boycott the vote in his name. What's going on in the Georgia race?
Let's just circle back here on what's happening. There are four individuals running for the Senate, two Republicans and two Democrats. As it happens, these elections are occurring at the same time because there's one resignation, and that resigned senator seat has to be replaced. And the earliest date was the presidential election. As it also happens, the existing senator's term ended on the date of the presidential election. Both these candidates stood for election, but neither one of them got 50% of the vote. Under Georgia law, that requires a runoff. So we have two senators. This is very unusual, running at the same time in a state. They're usually staggered elections. Kelly Loeffler was the appointed person. She's very up to her eyeballs in insider dealings in the stock exchange. And it just happens that her husband is involved with the stock exchange. So that makes it even worse. And Purdue has said on the boards of firms and things that have been awarded very rich contracts by the government, and he's owned stock in those firms. Now, in a place called Australia, you'd go to jail for that. And probably in the United States, you'd go to jail for that. But these people have some nice, slick lawyers. Their situations will really be compounded if they lose these elections, because they'll be exposed to local prosecution, not just federal. On the other hand, you have a Black minister running for the Democrats who is very popular, the successor to Martin Luther King and his pulpit in the church that Ebenezer Baptist, that King pastored for many years. He is popular in a populist Trump version, but as a Black. So he could attract white rural voters as a good old preacher against a woman who's never been in a field in her life, doesn't know anything about farming, only knows about money, is an outsider in Georgia. She's a New Yorker. He could win that race. Ossoff is facing an incumbent, and that incumbent may be slick and so on, but he has the virtue of being an incumbent. So he'll have some African-Americans voting for him because he's done something for them and their constituents. But Ossoff has this on his side. He's a great debater. And Purdue showed up for the first debates, was wiped off the map, and would not show up for any. So there are people who say, if he's that afraid, you know, if there's smoke, there must be fire. So why vote for this man? And to top it off, he's had no campaign. He's not said why you should vote for him, because every time he says something, Ossoff comes in and knocks it down. And why should it vote against Ossoff? Ossoff doesn't have a record of being against crime or the Black Lives Matters, but he has a record of being a progressive and doing things for people. So that could bring him the African-American vote. Whoever gets the African-American vote and gets a few rural people to sit on their hands wins. My gut tells me Warnock will win, the preacher, and Ossoff will run a very tight race that'll have to be recounted. But Purdue will be Chase, but he'll probably win. Too bad. It'd be great if they both won.
Ed and I will be back next week discussing the highs and lows of 2020. Going to be a big, big episode, that one there. So make sure you don't miss it. And don't miss us when we return in 2021 as well. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you might find it. Drop us a review if you're feeling like giving us an early Christmas gift. And check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.